All right, let's get started this morning. We're going to get our main passage, Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Sam DeAngelis, if you'll get that for us. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. If I could get Jacob Salas, if you'll get that for us. Isaiah 55, 11. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 13. Cole, if you'll get that, Deuteronomy 28, 13. And Luke 2:52, Richard, if you'll get that for us, De La Hoya, Luke 2:52. Okay, Pastor Greg Mitchell, years ago, he said, and I noted this and have always repeated it, rehearsed it, and I would say today understand its profound revelation, is the three keys to revival are faith, dominion, and people skills. And this is something that I have taught in Santa Fe, in Rochester, New York, and again, like I said, I've repeated here, because it is absolutely just, again, a profound revelation. When you wrap your head around this and understand it and apply it, these are keys to revival. So I want to look at each of them out of Ephesians chapter 4, that we would gain an understanding in the wisdom of each key for our churches, for our ministry, for effectiveness. So Ephesians 4, 15 through 16.
Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Okay, so let's look at this here. Let's look firstly at the issue of faith. Pastor Greg has said that faith, the foundation of faith, it is the Word of God. If you are going to be an effective man of God, you need faith. You need to build your belief on the Word of God, right? That whatever the Bible says, that's what I should expect. Whatever the Word of God says, that's what I'm going to contend for. You know, when you confront issues of life, when you confront issues of ministry, you need to go back and say, but this is what God says, but this is what this verse says for that. In any arena of life, you need scriptures forming the foundation of your faith. But many build their faith on experience, right? How often do people say, well, I felt. How do you know it's true? Well, because I saw. How do you know it's true? Well, because I witnessed that. But experience isn't enough. And there's a lot of things we can experience, but it does not equal truth, right? Have you ever been at a stoplight and thought you were rolling backwards or forwards? And you push your brake harder and you're like, wait, I'm not moving. It's because the car next to you started moving one way or the other, and it gives you a sense you experienced movement that didn't actually happen. And so sometimes that can happen in life, in the things of God, which is why another quote of Pastor Greg is, the Word verifies the work. So whatever it is I'm experiencing, whatever it is I've seen, whatever it is I've observed, again, it has to go back to the Word of God. I remember my pastors talking about these movements, these quote-unquote revivals, Brownsville revival, the Pensacola revival, and there was all these manifestations of things that were happening, but very quickly, Pastor William Mitchell said, that's not God. Why? Because the Word verifies the work. So experience isn't enough, or sometimes experience does not equal truth. Others, secondly, they build their faith on opinion. How often have you been witnessing to someone or discussing with someone and they say, well, I think, well, I believe, well, I agree with that, but I disagree with this. But You got to ask the question, why would that opinion matter more than God's word? Right? Your opinions come from within. Your opinions are your own. That means they are subjective. They're from within. And isn't it possible someone could be wrong? Right? Like, why should your opinion matter more? Sometimes you deal with things as a pastor. You confront things. Sometimes you have to challenge things. And, I disagree with that. Well, I don't think. Well, yeah, but let's go back to what the Word of God says. Again, this is why the foundation of your faith needs to be rooted on the Word of God. Let's read Isaiah 55 in verse 11.
So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Okay, so here God is speaking and pointing out that his word is what matters the most. His word is what is going to make the difference in everything, in ministry, in life. So we need to approach life from what does God say? We need to approach issues. What has God spoken about this issue? We need to set our expectations on the Word of God. And this is really where the foundation of faith actually begins. So regardless of my opinions, regardless of my experiences, or what I'm experiencing at the moment, I always need to default back to trust in God's Word. So, very practical, if I'm going to build my faith on the Word of God, then that means I need to know what God's Word says, right? Otherwise, how do you know? How do you know this is true or not? How do you know you can stand on this or not? Otherwise, you can be led astray. Going back to those old revivals that I remember my pastors referencing, we lost pastors in those movements. Right? We lost them. Why? Because they were led astray into them. They were not looking at the Word. If we do not know what God's Word says, then we'll be pulled in different directions. And we'll be pulled away from our foundational and fundamental beliefs of our fellowship. Right? I remember Pastor Greg challenging us. You better know why we do what we do. Because you're going to be challenged on it. And when you are, if you say, because Pastor Greg said so, that's not going to be enough. And it won't be enough for you. I remember early on in ministry in Santa Fe, we had this guy that always wanted to give me an opinion, always knew better, right? And old religious guy, you know, all of the factors that we're taught to in how to deal with them. And I remember him challenging me on speaking in tongues. In the service, you know, Pastor, I've just got to say, I've noticed, you know, people leave at that moment, which they didn't, right? Number one. And, you know, you'd really be able to retain a lot more. I say, you know what, Ray? No, we're not changing that. Because the expression of the of speaking in tongues, you know, you explain, and then he goes, well, but doesn't the Bible say two or at the most three? Yeah, but you've misinterpreted that, Ray. That's talking about prophetic tongues. That's not talking about the edification of tongues when we're praising God, right? He challenged me on the public offering. You know, Pastor, it really makes people uncomfortable when that tray passes by. Yeah, well, Ray, we're not changing that, right? And you get challenged on these things, you better know why. You have to deal with that or you'll be pulled in a different direction. Because there are people, they are very persuasive. If you're not settled and rooted, they will persuade you out of certain things, right? It cannot, otherwise you'll be, if you don't have faith based on the Word of God, you'll focus in on your experience. When men are in seasons of lack or seasons of fight, their experience tells them, this doesn't work. But what does the Word of God say? But the opposite can be true. in the experience of success. And men say, and I didn't even have to do, and I didn't even have to stand, and I didn't even have to, in the success of it, no, that's another experience. What does the Word of God say? If you base your faith on opinion, then that comes from within. You're not building it on God's Word. So, according to our main passage that we're looking at in Ephesians, according to verses 15 and 16, a church should grow. It says in there, grow up in all things into Him. In other words, into Jesus Christ for the growth and development of the body. But what builds that growth? What encourages growth? It's faith. I believe that. I take God at His word. We will see breakthrough. We will see growth. We will see why. Because my faith is based on God's word. I take Him at His word. Okay, let's look secondly then at dominion. Dominion is all about establishing God's promises now in your life. So, we need to know what God says. That's the foundation for faith. But dominion is now establishing those promises, those truths in your life. Dominion simply means the right to rule. I determine the results. Let's read Deuteronomy 28 and verse 13.
The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them.
Okay, you will be the head and not the tail. I remember my pastor teaching me this as a disciple, right? The head determines the direction. The head determines the movements and the momentum and where you're headed and what you're doing. The tail's along for the ride, right? You've ever felt in life like, you know, you see a tail wag? That's you. You're just being wagged and dragged around in life, and you don't have a say. But God says, that is not what you should be. Dominion, the right to rule, you should be the head. I determine the results. You shall be above only and not beneath. Not trampled all over, not walked all over, not getting beat up, not, right? This is our portion, but that, establishing that, involves dominion. Dominion is what you need. So the question is, how do I get dominion? Well, like I said, it starts with faith. What does God say? What does God say about fruitfulness? Because we need dominion and fruitfulness. What does God say about healing? Because we're going to need dominion and healing. What does God say about deliverance? Because we're going to need dominion there. What does God say about money? Money's a dominion battle, a dominion issue. So, establishing what God says involves focus. If you are going to contend for dominion, is what we call it. It's the way we say it. I'm focusing in on that promise for that need. I'm focusing in on God's word for that issue. I'm focusing in, and how do we do that? We focus, number one, in prayer. Right? You are focusing, and like I started my Sunday school series last week, prayer is thoughtful. You've got to think it through. You have to have an awareness. You have to think about solutions. And so in focused prayer, you can contend specifically, applying God's word and pushing a breakthrough forward. We can focus in fasting, right? I'm going to take some days, or I'm going to take a day, and I'm going to fast for my fruitfulness. I'm going to fast for my evangelism. I'm going to fast for the new converts that I'm working with right now. I'm going to fast for a financial breakthrough or open door. I'm going to fast for a job. Whatever it is, it's focused. You're contending for dominion in that arena. Then it can be focused giving, right? We know the tithe, that already belongs to God. Old quote is, tithing is what I owe, and offerings is the seeds that I sow. Something like that, right? So you're planting something for something specific. So you can focus giving. I've done times where I've taken an offering and I said, God, I'm contending for my altar calls. I'm contending for my converts. And I'm giving this offering and I'm trusting you to move. I'm giving for the salvation of a loved one. I'm focused in that. Finally, then, it's a focused expectation. Because when you're praying and fasting and giving, it's natural you begin to rehearse it. You begin to speak faith. You begin to speak what God can do. You begin to rehearse those scriptures. I know what God has said. I am not seeing what he has promised. And this is where we get the famous words of Pastor Greg. So that is unacceptable. It's not just a phrase. It's not just a word. Now we're getting understanding. Where does that come from? My foundation of faith and my contending for dominion. So, unacceptable. I want you to know dominion is a battle. Dominion involves warfare. Dominion is not a checklist. Dominion will be contested again and again. Pastor Greg has said, what is physical of the Old Testament becomes spiritual in the New Testament. And how many battles do we read about in the Old Testament? We read about Abraham, right? And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of these wrestlings that he fought against these kings, taking his men with him to rescue Lot. There was fight, there was battle, it was contested. We read about all of the battles against the Egyptians and the enslavement and God dealing with that enemy, but it was a different enemy and it was being contested. God's people are being contested. We read about the Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, which when I first was a new disciple, I thought he was making a joke. Pastor Greg, when he said Perizzites, I thought he was saying parasites. But just like all these fighting things, right? All these different battles, constant warfare, right? The Midianites, sometimes they have them under their rule and sometimes the Midians are ruling because it's contested. You're going to have to fight again and again, but dominion is possible. Dominion is possible. You can establish it. You can reestablish it. And when the battle's coming, you don't have to be fully taken over to get a victory, but you're pushing back. You're pushing back on the enemy's tactics and plans. So the results of dominion, it's divine effectiveness. Our text says, when we are joined with Christ, there is an effective working. And that's said in verse 16, according to the effective working. We need things to work. We need things to be effective. We need our witness to work. We need our outreaches to work. We need our concerts to work. We need our church services to work, to function, where lives are being changed and transformed, where people are experiencing miracles and experiencing God and finding deliverance. But that is dominion, and dominion makes things work. And that's a way we contend. We take God first at his word. We have to build it. Faith. The foundation of faith is the word of God, and then focused dominion, focused for contending whatever it is you need a breakthrough in, turning the tide on things, God overturning the plans of the enemy, Right? I pray often the enemy plots, but God, let him be trapped in his own traps. Stuck in his own traps. Caught in his own nets, as some scriptures say. So that's a way we're contending for that. All right, let's close. Let's talk finally then about people skills. So we have faith is the first key for revival or breakthrough. Second key is dominion. The final is people skills. You can have faith for what God has spoken. You can believe it. You can have even personal dominion. You can be a man, a righteous man, a good man. You can have personal dominion in your own finances and personal dominion in your convictions and different things. But this final key is very powerful and profound, but you do need the ability to connect with people well. That doesn't mean, let me make this very clear, that doesn't mean you have to change who you are. We all have a personality that God has given us. We all have a personality and preferences that God has given us. Some of us are more extrovert. That's okay. Some of us are more introvert. That's okay. Both have good strengths and both have good weaknesses. Right? They're both gonna have qualities that contribute. But you can use, and by being aware of your strengths or your weaknesses, and you can use them to your advantage. So, Pastor Greg has said, people skills are all about your ability to help make people feel comfortable with you. That's all it comes down to. Do I have the ability to make people feel comfortable? Or do I put them on edge? Or do I make them uncomfortable? Am I awkward? You know, do I say awkward things? You've got to be aware of yourself. And so Pastor Greg has said, and I remember as a disciple, him repeating this, people will fall in love with you before they fall in love with your Jesus. Okay, in full on revival, it doesn't matter what you do. People are going to get saved. People are going to lock in. People are going to get revelation. That's in a season of revival. And I've seen those seasons. And I've seen those converts. But if it's outside of revival, Pastor Greg has said, then we labor for the one. So if we're laboring for the one, isn't it in our best interest to give ourselves the best fighting chance? Because you can have faith and dominion, but if you are a grump, or if you treat people the same, or if you are too extrovert, right? I've walked up to people, hey, man, what's good? I want to just invite you to something. They're like, whoa, whoa, slow your roll. Why are you so happy? This is uncomfortable. They don't like it. What are you trying to sell? Are you trying to pickpocket me? You know, like they get defenses come up. So you got to, both can be negative, right? You just have to have that awareness. So if we're laboring for the one, and people will fall in love with me until they get enough revelation to fall in love with Jesus, that means I have to have the ability to connect with people and connect with a variety of people, right? Sometimes Pastor Greg and I will joke and, you know, you meet some guy's disciples, hey, meet my disciples. And they're like, you know, squirrely and missing eyes or teeth, or, you know, they're, hey, how's it going? You know, they're just out there. Why? Because they have a difficult time connecting with, we could say normal people. They have a difficult time connecting with people that are not beneath them in some way, right? No, you have to have the ability to connect with anyone. And that's a skill. You've got to develop that. You have to have the ability to connect with people individually because they're different. You can't treat everyone the same. You can't talk to everyone the same. This is true of relationship anyway, right? Parents with their children. How many of you have more than one child? Okay, and how many of your children are very different from each other? Yeah, my kids are two totally different people. But you know where parents make the mistake? Is when they treat their children exactly the same. They're not treating them as an individual. That's hurting the parent. And that's hurting the child. But then people carry that into working with people, follow-up, ministry. They treat everyone the same. And so, well, isn't that right? Isn't that fair? No, it's not. Because now, whatever your algorithm or flow or formula of working with people, that means you'll only reach people that meet that criteria, right? You need like the follow-up version of eHarmony, you know? Who's compatible with me as a pastor? No, you've got to be compatible with everyone, and that is a skill, right? People are different. My grandparents, my mom's dad, my Papi Goyo, he had a little nickname for everyone, right? You know, whether it was El Tepiqueña, La Pajarito, you know, whatever it was, these little names for every grandkid. And you know what? Every grandkid, you could see, they loved Papi Goyo. He was special. And they felt special with him. Now, my grandfather on my dad's side had a different approach. Every grandchild was la nana. La nana, la nana, la nana, la nana, la nana. Oh, mira la nana, otra la nana. Yeah, and it's like, so we're all the same. Who do you think we as a family connected with more? Right? Just natural, some of you. If you said la nana, then you're the one that has a hard time with people. Right? It was the one that had the nicknames for everyone. Right? My father is a wonderful grandfather. My father, he has a song for every grandchild. He has a little song for each one of them individually. And you know, they fall in love with him. They love him for that from the moment they're very little. So the point I'm making is it's individual. And that's how we have to be with people. Finally then is, do you know your personal strengths or weaknesses? Do you do better with groups of people, or do you do better with one-on-one? So where do I need to work on? If I do better with one-on-one, then I need to work on my group, how I handle groups, right? Because sometimes if you don't handle groups well, what do? You wind up isolating. And then everyone left like, hey, was so-and-so okay? They just seemed really... No, you're just not as comfortable in it, but it comes across a certain way. It sends a certain message. If you're better with groups but terrible with one-on-one, then you've got to learn how to work one-on-one, right? My wife and I, we have become such a great team when it comes to people. So when we get with people, maybe that we've never met before, we both have an understanding and an awareness whether this first meeting needs to be the Jesse and Beth show or whether it needs to be the people we're with, their show. And so we get that very quickly. In the first interactions, you start asking some questions. Pastor Greg calls it the verbal ping pong. You know, you're kind of going back and forth. If they're giving short, one-worded answers, that was your day. That was good. And so what do you do for work? Oh, I do this. Okay, it's time to turn on the Jesse and Beth show. They clearly want to observe. They don't want to, they're not very good with the engagement. So if that's their posture, we do the Jesse and Beth show. We ask lots of questions. We share stories. We laugh. We have a great time. They're having a great time watching, observing, and listening. And they leave feeling very comfortable. They leave saying, that was awesome. And they want to connect again. Now, if it has to be our guest show, then we are good listeners, right? Nobody likes one-uppers, right? You sit with someone, they start sharing a story. Oh, yeah, but this reminds me of a... And then you're one-upping. And then they're one-upping. Nobody likes that. So we have the ability to turn off the Jesse and Beth show and listen. And just be all in. And they will spend the evening talking about themselves. And they're comfortable. And when we're done, they go, hey, I really like them. They were really awesome. But they got to spend the night talking about themselves. That's okay. And when we meet back up with them, we know what to expect. So these are ways that you are developing skills. Do you have the ability to make someone feel welcome? Do you have the ability for someone to feel comfortable? Or are you rigid? Or are you demanding? What is your tone? right? What is the tone of your voice? Your body language, what is it communicating? What is it saying? Are you open? I tell guys all the time, every now and then I'll say, you need a yes face. What is your face saying? Is your face saying, no, I'm not interested in this. This is boring. This is dumb. Or is it agitated, right? Or what is your face communicating? If you have RBF, then you're going to have to work on that. If you don't know what RBF is, I can let you know later, right? It's a resting face that does not help you. Right? But there's more than RBF. There's resting agitated face. There's resting annoyed face. There's resting fill in the blank. All could be a negative. So you need to develop your yes face. When you talk to people on the phone, this is a study done. If you smile while talking to people on the phone, it changes your tone. Right. It changes how you speak to them. Right? So these are different ways in which this works. So people skills enable you to communicate the truth of the gospel with love. And that's what our text says in verse 15, speaking the truth in love. You know, I have the ability, and every pastor needs to have the ability, and I've watched my pastor have the incredible ability to tell people the truth and make them feel comfortable, right? I've challenged people on some hard things. I've challenged them on some very difficult situations. But you know what? I could say the truth in love. I can challenge and confront, and it doesn't have to be a fight. It's not a war. It's just, you know what? That wasn't okay. That was not acceptable, and that's not going to happen again. Now, again, the balance is sometimes you do have to be more strict or hard, or a tone needs to change. Again, I don't have to yell, but I can change my tone. I can say, look, that wasn't helpful. That's not acceptable. I need your help. Or I can say, hey, that was not helpful. You will not do that again. That's unacceptable. Am I clear? Right? That's tone. And so it depends on what they need. But at the end of the day, do they know that you love them? Do they know that you care about them? Do they know that you want the best for them? So this is a skill we need to work on. Is people skills. Luke 2:52.
And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
Okay, Jesus had a way with people. Jesus could speak with anyone. Right? Think about the woman at the well. That, from the very beginning, was a very difficult conversation. Right? Would you give me a drink? And what's her response? Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We don't talk to each other. Okay. And then look what happens by the end of the conversation. You are the Christ, you are the Messiah. She runs home and brings the whole city to Jesus. That's a skill. That is very important. So this is something we can ask God for, is skills with people. And Luke 2:52 would be a great scripture to claim for that. God, help me with people. Help me to increase in wisdom and in favor with people. You can pray that, going back to faith and establishing dominion for your people skill. So, finally then, another prayer you can pray is pray for a love for people and a passion for souls. All of your people skills have to be genuine and authentic. They can't be fabricated. They can't be fake, right? You're not a salesman. That's not the point. Salesmen are pushy. That's why they're good at sales. They push, push, push. That's how they get it. That's not what we are. We don't push, push, push. We want people. We make them feel comfortable. Okay, let's open it up a little longer than normal. Let's open it up for some questions. Yes, Micah.
So kind of on that last part of the people skills aspect, when you're talking about like the Beth and Jesse show, and using people skills, it's very interesting. It was kind of my first experience yesterday with somebody. Brian asked me to go and talk with him. And it was a couple that came in, they were kind of just standing there in the 180 and stuff. And I started talking with him a little bit and just kind of trying to get to know him and stuff. And he asked me, he's like, why are you asking these questions? Like, I'm trying to get to like hey,
yep.
You know, how you doing, where are you from, stuff like that. So in using people's skills, how do you use discernment to kind of know when somebody needs to kind of move along when you're, you know, in the 180, we're trying to develop an atmosphere for people to respond to an altar call. And it just seemed like he was like this guy should probably not be here because there's like a pump of spirit. You know, so how do you kind of navigate that kind of thing where it's like, okay, I could try to like become his friend, but at some point it's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so for people that, you know, whether they're religious people or, you know, dangerous people or whatever the case, we move them along. I'm not worried, you know. Sometimes when it comes to religious people, you know, if I offend them out, I don't care. I don't, right? I've had so many situations where it was like, no, I'm going to offend them away, you know, because they don't need to be here. But for others, you know, people that you need to develop relationship with and connect with and keep them coming, that's very different. Your approach is very different. So that's what I'm talking about here in those people's skills, right? There are some, they just, yeah, you're right. They're not a fit. They do not belong. But that takes discernment, right? So, for example, I had a lady in church in New York. She was saved, had been coming for about a year. Her husband had never come. We start building relationship with her in the church, my wife and I, our family. Finally, she gets us over to a lunch. The very first lunch I have at their house, me and the husband are outside. He's never been to church. We're just talking, just chopping it up about everything and every, you know, anything. Just chatting, and then he just said, hey, Pastor, he's a Colombian guy. I said, I want you to know right out the gate, all right? No disrespect. This is sincere. But I will never come to your church. I will never step foot in it. I will never become a believer. And I said, okay. No, I understand. And in my heart, I knew, bro, he's going to get so radically saved. Right? So discernment, right? She's in the church. I need to win him. And we won him. And guess what? He got radically converted, locked in, faithful to this day, man. That guy... We have contact. He's just got transformed, right? So now, yeah. So you gotta have discernment and awareness. Now, you did bring up a very good point. Is with the question. Let's say it was good circumstances. The question: why are you asking me all these questions? In people skills, you need to know how to maneuver out of those, right? So that's a feedback. I'm uncomfortable, right? So that's, in a good scenario, that's how you'd have to work, process that. Okay, I'm making them uncomfortable. Let me start talking about me. Because clearly they don't want to talk about themselves. Right? Yeah. Yes?
So you talked about working with people. Is it the same for evangelism? You know, like, you know, you're at a door and you want to make them comfortable. I experienced this yesterday. I felt like I had... you know, that connection, they were comfortable, I felt that. And then as I, you know, shifted into the gospel, it kind of feels like you're, you know, you can make them a little bit uncomfortable.
Sure.
How do you navigate that, you know, if you need to get to the gospel?
Absolutely.
How do you do that?
Yeah, no, if, again, it may be how you're communicating it. It may be the transition. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we feel like we're in a flow and we know where we're headed. They do not. So you're going and you take... you know, this Tokyo Drift turn, they're like, whoa, what just happened? We were just talking sports and now you're talking Jesus. Like, they're just caught off guard. So it feels like a flow for you, but sometimes it's less than you're realizing, less of a flow. Okay, so it may just be in the delivery. It may be in your transition. Is this a natural or organic transition into the gospel? Or have I just taken us from here, you know, and we just dropped 30,000 feet randomly in the plane, right? Like, it just, that doesn't help them. So that's possible. I don't know the conversation or whatever. But anyway, if you're seeing a pattern, it may be in your transition. Yeah. Good. Pete?
So it's not like a bad idea, really, when you're in a conversation with somebody, you just kind of, I'm asking this, that... you could just start in the conversation, get to know somebody, and all of a sudden start just working towards that without being directly shaped.
Yeah. Well, but it depends, Pete, right? As Phil brings up, door knocking, you better have an elevator pitch, right? This is what a term that people skills what I don't know what they're called. They're not, I can't think. I'm sorry, I'm a little jet lagged. People that operate or write for people skills, they talk about the elevator pitch. So you have 8 seconds to make a quick connection with someone. That's what you have, 8 seconds. Can I get my pitch out or where I'm going to go in those 8 seconds? Some even bring it down to 3 seconds. You have 3 seconds to make a connection with someone, whether they're going to listen to you or not. Right? So that's very important. So what you're talking about, it's possible like on the job where you're going to see someone every day to not just be like, boom, hey, 3 seconds, Jesus Christ loves you, you know? No, you're going to have time to get to know them and them see your testimony and introduce the gospel. Family, that's another dynamic, the long-term game. But if it's a door knock, I mean, you got to build a quick bridge to get a witness, you know, started. They're two totally different contexts. You don't do them the same, which is, again, comes back to skill, right? You know, I've had people, you know, okay, so I had a bad morning as a concert director, right? Terrible morning. I'm frustrated. I'm getting calls, you know, and I go knock on a door and, you know, hillbilly guy's like, who is it? And I'm like, oh, great. This doesn't sound good. Yo, you're exactly right. This dude opens the door with a shotgun. And I just said, never mind. Have a good day. And I just walked away, right? He wanted to make a statement. He's already, you hear it, the tone, okay? But then I had another guy. This is just, again, one of those one-offs. You can't prepare for this. Had a guy, I'm in Tucumcari, New Mexico, and of course, with Brother Gary Basham, this had to happen, right? Because Gary has all the crazy stories. This dude opens the door with a handgun, okay? Again, these are unique situations. He opens the door with a handgun, and my first response was, are you okay? And right there, just that phrase and the way I said it, by the end, I prayed with him. He was a backslider from one of our fellowship churches, full on just paranoid, dealing with all kinds of issues and struggles and contemplating suicide. He was not okay. But again, those first seconds can be the full difference, right? Those are intense, extreme situations. I shared the other day, I've been shooed off of a porch, right? You're not going to change that person's mind, you know? I've done my 3-second pitch and they go, shoo, shoo, get off my porch. I'm like, okay, I'm moving. This is very humiliating, you know, whatever. So it just depends. You have to, that's why it's a skill. You have to develop it and you have to work it out. Yep, Phil?
Pastor, so you talked earlier about how you were talking to that guy in the backyard and he said, oh, I'm not going to church, and you knew in your heart, you know, he's going to get radically saved. So that comes down to you had faith that God was going to do that. So now you're talking about certain people that they don't want it. They don't want the gospel. You know, they're telling you to get out of here. Do you have to have faith for that person? Or you kind of got a sense...
Again, it would be very different, right? I knew I needed faith for Jose.
Oh, right.
Right? Because his wife Carmen was in our church. Mm-hmm. Right? So I would do me very foolish to be like, well, then I hope you enjoy hell. Right? Now I lose Jose and Carmen, right? And then secondly, I didn't fight him. Right? This is where some guys... in their zeal, right, and in their foolishness, you'll never step foot. But bro, your wife is in church. I mean, you should be there together. It would be, you know, and they want to push. Yeah. That was not the time. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, okay, yeah, no worries. So, and then just shifted into something else. So, you were telling me about your last hunt, and then boom, we get into this conversation, right?
Yeah.
Didn't fight him on it, just said, sure, yeah, whatever. Boom, and I segue. And then, man, he started showing up. Then one morning, he got radically converted. And then I remember the day Pastor Tim Miller, I just got to share it with you. Pastor Tim Miller gave him a word. He said, in the next 6 months, you are going to experience the full joy of salvation. Something is going to happen that you've been contending for. And it's going to happen, and you are going to know God in a whole new way. So this couple I've been praying to be able to adopt. And in less than 6 months, they were able to adopt. And I remember the first service that they had their baby with them. He's a big Colombian guy, man. He's stocky. This little baby, and he's there weeping in church, worshiping God, holding his baby, hands raised, just weeping. And I was like, there it is. There it is. But it was a skill to navigate that first part. Yeah, good. Very good. Yep, and you have to, and I prayed for him, right? And that's, again, coming back to faith and dominion. People skills isn't the only answer. And what I've found in teaching this, we always wind up with questions on the people skill, but very much connected is also the faith and dominion. Because faith for people and dominion with people will encourage your skills. Yeah.
Pastor, so what are you typically doing now? You're by yourself and, you know, the conversation just went in the wrong direction. But you see some hope there, so what's your ticket to try to, like, you know, make that connection if it was lost from the very beginning?
Yeah, and again, it depends. On a door, door-to-door knocking, or on a quick, at the park outreach or something, you might lose it, and that's okay. But you should analyze it. Why didn't that work? What could I have done differently? What did I say that maybe made them uncomfortable? What did I say that maybe agitated them if it ended pretty bad? You have to analyze it. Next one, why did that work so well? Did I do something different? And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's not that I didn't do something different, not that you're cookie cuttering people, but that, you know what, I did the skills I knew and they just weren't ready, right? Don't forget faith. No one comes to the Father unless they are drawn by the Father, right? So I have to pray, God, put me in contact with people you've been dealing with. Connect me. That goes to dominion. God, connect me with people that are ready, as Lydia, whose heart the Lord already opened. So those are connecting back, but then you take feedback. Now let's say the answer was yes. I did do the same thing I did before, but that was the problem, is that I tried to cookie cutter people, right? I try to put them in a box and have the same tact every single time. You won't. And so that's the best thing you can do with that. If you lose it, you can try to pivot, you know, and start over, whatever, but that's probably not going to happen. Like I said, you look at any people skills, you have a 3 to 8 second window. And sometimes it's going well, and then it goes bad. It's like, whoa, what happened? We were going so well. Sometimes that's hell, right? Sometimes that's the devil bringing up things as conviction is falling on them, right? People respond differently to conviction. So sometimes they get walls. I don't like what I'm feeling. That goes back to dominion. Let my words not fall to the ground. It's a way to pray and contend. So a lot of variables there. But the point is that you have awareness, and that makes the difference. Yeah. Very good. Yep. One more, Micah.
Is there like an element of dominion, like when a convert responds, an element of dominion for them to keep coming?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And so that's why you have to, it's very important, people that respond, maybe you prayed with them at the altar, get their number, connect with them, right? And again, connect with them. Follow up is about relationship and making people feel comfortable. It's not about straightening them out and sorting that out every detail of their life, right? You know, yeah, funny story. So Jose winds up getting saved. We talked a lot about Jose this morning. So he gets saved, right? And we go to another lunch at his house. This is, you know, sometime later. He's been coming to church maybe a month or 2 months now, saved. And we go to his house for lunch. He got comfortable out of his church clothes. And he had his slippers on. And I happened to note that they were Corona slippers, you know? And immediately he caught my eye and he goes, "Bro, I just haven't had time to get new slippers." I was like, no, it's chill, bro. It's all good. It's all good, you know? I said, they're probably comfortable. They look fluffy and comfortable, you know? So make them comfortable. We laughed about it, right? So you that's what you're doing. And so, yes, though, you've got to pray them through it. God, give them revelation. Help them to keep coming, right? The parable of the sower, the seed, some fell on hard ground. It couldn't take root, and the enemy came and snatched it. That's what hell wants. Some fell on among the weeds. Some fell among the stones. Some fell on good soil. We need to pray, God, make their heart good soil. Lift them up in prayer. Pray them through it. That's the best thing you can do. Great. Awesome. Good questions, guys. Thank you.